But Hebrews chapter 12, 11 to 17. My text verse is verse number 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's a very key verse in your Bible, teaches us a lot. This morning, just as an introduction, all sin causes death. All sin hurts God. Sin and rebellion against the Bible hurts God, you, and others. There are some sins that indirectly affect others. There are some sins you can commit that more directly affect others. For instance, sometimes it depends, a lie can hurt other people, yourself and other people. Murder can obviously hurt somebody else. There are other sins that God says can poison others. And that's the end of the text verse there in verse number 15. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 15 starts with saying, as a church, as Christian people, you look diligently. Now that's more my job. It's not your job. It's not a sheep's job to examine other sheep. But I do watch how you come to church. And if you never smile, because you can't, then something's wrong. And if it's always, I see that. God says, look diligently, and what we're looking for is, in the verses ahead of it, it talks about chastening, or when God has to spank us. And some people don't handle correction well, and instead of receiving the correction, they get angry at God. And then when they get angry at God, it always leads to bitterness. And what's dangerous about bitterness is God says that sin of bitterness defiles many. Sheep are funny. They catch each other's diseases because they rub noses. If one nose starts dripping, they'll, rub it, and then this one's running and that, and they get sick real easy. The word defile, it means to bruise or maul. It means to render foul, filthy, and dirty because the purity is destroyed. God says if you get bitter, you can destroy the purity of other people, your anger. God says be very careful, and God says the one thing that we're supposed to carefully be aware of, look diligently and study and make sure. And look, I understand while we were singing, there's some people that don't sing. Their heart's broken. Something's broken. Something is wrong when you can't sing. There's some people, they're too hurt to sing. There's some people, as far as they, and it doesn't matter, we can read the Bible together as God's people, they're not going to do that. Something's broke on the inside. And they're bitter, and what we're looking for, what we're careful of, is we don't want, I understand broken hearts, I understand burdens, I understand the pains and heartaches of life, but if you get bitter, you'll poison others. You'll poison others. Many, many will be defiled if bitterness comes in. Marriages are defiled or made foul and filthy and dirty because of bitterness. Families are made, they're defiled by bitterness. Any relationship that you have is made foul, filthy, and dirty, and the purity is destroyed. You see, bitterness grieves and suppresses the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot guide you if He's grieved. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So God says, allow the Holy Spirit to clean up, okay, in the verses there ahead of it, and it's not the text this morning, I'm just trying to introduce this. It says in the text there ahead of it, allow the Holy Spirit to clean up your mouth. In verse 31 it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God says, allow these things, bitterness, wrath, anger. Allow these things to be put away or divorced from you. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, without the Holy Spirit, you're left to yourself, and then there is no movement in your life spiritually, and all you do is exist. Because there's no leadership of the Holy Spirit. God can't lead you when you're always grieving Him. With what? The bitterness. The bitterness. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 8, and I'll show you something. You see, when I as a pastor see bitterness in people's lives, it lets me know that whoever they are spending time with will be defiled. You say, that's judging. If you can't take the Bible and match, that's right, that's wrong, that's pure, that's defiled, you have to be able to judge. I, as a pastor, am supposed to be able to, look, if you come to our church, God gives me to you, I'm very thankful. I'm very honored that you're in church this morning. You honor me. I'm blessed. Okay, there's other churches you could have gone to this morning. Okay? This isn't the only one in St. Mary's County. So I'm honored that you're here, but I figure if you're here, it's because God sent you here to get something from me, and I'm supposed to be very careful with you. I'm not out to offend anybody this morning, but I know as well as I'm standing here, when you touch bitterness, people get angry. And I'll show you why here in just a second. You've got to be real careful with it, but it is something that's supposed to be addressed. Watch this. You say, Pastor, you can see bitterness. Do you see Acts chapter 8? Look at verse 18. Ready? It says, when Simon... Acts chapter 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Then he goes on to say, thou hast neither part of nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if he perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Look at verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. The apostle Peter is used of God to say, I can tell you're bitter. Do you know how come? Because you actually think spiritual things can be purchased with money. He watched the apostles lay hands on, the Holy Spirit comes on them, and Simon says, hey, if I give you some money, I want that too. And Peter said, you're not right with God. I, as a preacher, Peter is saying, I perceive, or I can tell by how you're responding to spiritual things. There's no spiritual perception in you. You're bitter. And I believe if the Apostle Peter could do that, God, I think, helps a pastor see that. And every once in a while in our church, I get alarmed when I hear somebody talking and they'll make bitter statements. Or, let me rephrase that, statements that only bitter people make. And then I feel like I need to help them with the Bible, right? Because that's what we're supposed to do. All right, that's what we're supposed to do. But bitterness was here, it was seen by the pastor. What is bitterness? Now, I gave it to you there in a definition, but bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system that produces hurt or anger. If there's ever been a time in your life where you said, that's not fair. I didn't say you're bitter. I said that's a candidate. You're a candidate for being bitter. Because your justice system, what you think is fair, I didn't say what God says is fair, but what you think was fair and is just was violated, and you said, that's not fair. I've been here longer. I should have got the promotion. Anytime you say, that's not fair, it doesn't mean that you get bitter, but you're on the precipice. And you could, if you don't handle it right, get bitter. I gave you another definition. Another definition of bitterness is when somebody could forgive and they don't. It's prolonged unforgiveness. There is nobody in here. Do you understand? Hatred towards any other person will rot you from the inside out, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. God designed us. You were made in the image of God. Now, if you're lost this morning, I hope you get saved. Amen. But you can't hate. You can hate their wrong, and I'll show you this in the end of the message. You can hate the drug dealer's drugs, but you can't hate somebody. It rots you from the inside out. And if you respond wrong, if you're mistreated, if you're unjustly treated, or sometimes it's if you're misunderstood, however, whatever the situation is, if you don't handle it right, and you fall for the devil's temptation to hate back, then the devil goes, good, now I've planted seeds of destruction, and you will explode within time. It's very, 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 very dangerous. The word bitterness. What is bitterness? I'll say it again. It's the unresolved violation of your justice system that produces hurt or anger. And a simpler definition would be prolonged unforgiveness. There's so many bitter people in America right now because when pain and heartache come into their life, they don't respond properly. As America gets further away from God and they learn less and less of the Bible, then they start relying upon more upon what they how they think they should handle it. And God has the answers, but people are learning less and less of the Bible as our society gets away from God. From their viewpoint, they were mistreated 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And then they start taking it out on everybody that's around them. God commands us to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away or divorced from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Satan tempts us with revenge, which always ends, I've told you, in self-destruction. I love this statement. Bitterness destroys the vessel in which it is stored, not those on whom it is poured. Somebody says, well, I'll show them. I'll get even with them. And the person expressing the revenge ends up being destroyed. As you lash out and bite people's heads off because you're bitter, they learn to forgive and then not to be like you. Satan tempts with anger, wrath, and retaliation. Satan says, don't worry about being bitter. You'll get even one day. And as you fall for that temptation, then you're destroyed. Their bitterness doesn't allow them to obey what they know is right. And as they're defiled more and more, they eventually oppose the Word of God. You see, here's the thing. Anytime you get angry at God, you don't ever start out angry at God. You start out angry at other people. And then the realization starts to click in. Sometimes it takes a year, 2 years, or 3 years, but this is how the thinking goes. They did this to me, and they did this, and then you allowed it. And all anger towards people eventually ends up this way. It doesn't start out that way because nobody would rightly get angry at God. But the devil works, it starts you this way, and then, how come this happened? I don't understand. You allowed it. And that's why if the devil can just get you hating somebody else, get you angry and out of control and not forgiving somebody else, he leads you on that path of self-destruction because he knows he's been doing it for 6,000 years. He knows where it ends. He knows where it ends. You see, bitter children rebel against their parents. A child can feel sometimes that they didn't get enough time with their dad or enough time with their mom. And then that causes bitterness. Children need our praise. They need our appreciation, our thankfulness, our attention, our rearing as parents. And when they don't get that, sometimes a child can be, well, that's my next point. Children who aren't properly disciplined are bitter. When the child isn't spanked, but they're screamed at all the time. And normally, in a home, wherever they're screaming, there's not spanking, and then that child normally ends up growing up being bitter. Because that's God says that's not the way we're supposed to rear our kids. Today, you say, what else can cause bitterness? In a child, the statistics for incest in our society right now is it's in one in every three homes. That's because of the filthy pornography and the internet. Incest is in one of every three homes. And any time incest is in a home, normally, unless that child is helped through counseling and biblical answers, they end up getting bitter. It's a horrible, vile, nasty thing. But it's in our society, and it's on the increase. Parents need to be careful. You say, okay, parents, please be careful that you don't lift athletics up over being spiritual. I'm for athletics. I love the competition that athletics causes and helps and develops, but never should athletics be a substitute for church. Never. Never. Being obedient should be more important than any sport. And once again, I don't want any boy throwing a ball like a girl. You know, I don't want that. But don't make athletics a priority over church. The athletes who claim to be born again, they need to be in church on Sunday like every good Christian is. And that needs to be shouted across the mountaintops. Well, I'm born again. Well, good. Get in church then where God wants you. Well, I got to play my football game. Well, good. Quit your football sport and get in church where you're supposed to be. Yeah. It's much more important. Bitter, okay, you can't be a good Christian and be out of church. Here we go. Let me hit another area. Bitter wives rebel against their husband's authority in the home. Spouse abuse I've seen as a pastor goes both ways. You say, you're talking about a husband hitting a wife. I've seen it both ways. In this society, things are getting weird. And it's going both ways. I've seen bitter husbands hurt their wives. And if they're not hurting them physically, they hurt them emotionally, and sometimes both ways. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. God never warns the wife, although wives can get bitter, God never warns the wife, don't be bitter against your husband. But a husband can be bitter against his wife. You say, how? Because when he goes to work, everything's in its place. If it's in his shop, if it's in his truck, everything has its place. And then when he comes home, he doesn't understand being a mom. He doesn't understand raising kids. He's the dad, right? So he comes home at 5 and he's tired. And everything is not exactly in its place. And that's not the atmosphere that he lives in. So he goes, well, how come she can't clean the house? Well, you try cleaning the house when he's gargling oatmeal and then spitting it at his sister, and then, you know what I mean? He doesn't understand her world. So then he gets bitter against his wife because she's not maintaining things the way he's used to all day long. All day long. Husbands, be not bitter against your wives. Bitter Christians rebel against a Bible-believing Baptist church. There are some Christians, a spiritual leader has disappointed you. And I believe this morning that we should expect the best of people who say they're spiritual. I have no problems with you expecting out of me a level of, okay, I'm not perfect and I'm going to fail you, but I am human. The best of men are men at best, and that's not an excuse for me to do wrong. That's reality. And you give me long enough time, I will disappoint you. Not because I'm trying, but because I'm human. Do you understand? It's going to happen, and if there's no allowance for that, and now watch this. I know that in our day and age, I've heard people say, well, I had a church disappoint me, so I don't trust any church. That's a bitter person. All churches aren't the same. All churches are not the same. Can you imagine what it must have been like? I understand the heartache of watching someone who is a spiritual leader hurt you. But can you imagine what happened when Moses lost his temper and smote the rock? God said, you're not going into the promised land. Can you imagine all the children as they went into the promised land and said, where's Moses? He's been with us for 40 years. Moses isn't going into the promised land, honey. How come? Where's Moses? He led us across the Red Sea and all that, and he did all those neat miracles and gave us water in the desert and all that. Honey, Moses isn't going with us. Moses lost his temper. Moses didn't broke God's picture, and Moses can't go. There were, I think, thousands of people disappointed at that. They had to face it. Honey, Moses is going to die right up there on that mountaintop as we go into the promised land. We're not the only ones that have dealt with spiritual leader disappointment. And there's other pictures of that in the Bible. You see, I've known people, okay? They say, I think every pastor is bad. And I just want to tell you this morning, every pastor is not a thief and every pastor is not a whoremonger, and the reason it hits the news is because it's still news. And the majority don't, but is there? Yes. Bitter people stereotype everyone because of the hurt they have suffered. So they'll say, well, I don't trust any more pastors. Or a wife that's been hurt badly by a husband says, I don't trust men anymore. Or a man that's been hurt by a wife says, all women are evil. That's bitter. You can put it in any category you want. That is bitter statement. Anytime you start going, everybody's bad, that's the sign of a bitter person. You see, if I look at our society right now, I've never seen people respond so violently as this Antifa crowd with these protests and this feminist violent garbage. Those are some bitter people. They're spoiled little brats that haven't learned how to deal with correction and discipline. And now we're watching a whole generation that have been raised, what do you want to do? We're watching them turn to adults. Instead of control yourself and get a hold of yourself, or you're going to get a whipping, like Dad used to say, amen. What Mom used to, I know I just preached on this last Sunday night, two Sunday nights ago, but my dad, my mom, I don't know how many times my mom would say, what are you crying for? I remember this as a little kid. Then what would Mom say? You want a reason to cry? Remember that? So you'd straighten it up. I think those days are gone, and they shouldn't be. And they shouldn't be. When a person is hurt, instead of being kind and forgiving, they decide that they don't want to be hurt anymore, so they start building a wall between them and the person that hurt them. And then they're building a wall in this direction, and then they're building a wall in this direction, and they're laying their brick, and then they're laying their wall in this direction, then they're laying their wall in this direction. Then they start building a roof with brick because they're not going to get hurt anymore. The wall of protection is built on every side, and then it closes them in, and they think what is keeping them safe is actually creating their own prison of isolation and loneliness. In shutting out possible hurt, they shut out everybody else also. Bitter people have a hard time getting along with everyone. I wish people would think about this. Look, if you can't get along with them, and you can't get along with them, and you can't get along with them, and you can't get along with them, or them, or them, have you ever considered the common denominator? Yeah. Is you. Amen. You're the one that's in everything that can't get along. Oh, I never thought about it that way. I thought the world stunk because Limburger cheese was everywhere. No, it's right under your nose. You just rubbed it there. Now the whole world stinks. I wish they'd think about that. People get so blind in their bitter bomb shelter that they can't recognize people who love them and who are trying to help them. You become blind to the love of God and the love of other people. Bitterness shows itself in a negative, critical attitude. I didn't say that all negative, critical people were bitter. Listen to what I said. I said bitterness shows itself in a negative, critical attitude. Bitter people are upset with people, and they don't even know why. Doesn't the Bible say this, Proverbs 14:10, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." I think the best psychology book is your Bible. What is psychology? Psych. Soul. Ology. The study of. How can you study your soul without the one who made you? I don't need modern psychology. I need that book. And as I read God's book, it teaches me about myself and my frailties and my weaknesses and where I need to shore it up. But I don't need a psychologist to lay on a bed and tell me, "Did your father ever take you fishing? Did your father ever buy you a puppy?" That's garbage. The best psychology book is the book God gave us, is the Bible. One person said, I heard somebody say, "That person reminds me of my uncle, and my uncle stole from me, so that person right there is a snake in the grass." Did that person steal from you? No, but he reminds me of my uncle who did. That's a bitter person. That's a bitter person. They never forgave, so now they stereotype. Bitterness shows a lack of love. Shows itself in a lack of love. A lack of love for the Lord. A bitter person doesn't love God. A bitter person doesn't love the lost. A bitter person doesn't love other Christians. A bitter person shows a lack of love for their own spouse and their own children. Bitter people can't receive or give love because the wall that they've built around them. Love can't get in the wall, and love can't leave the wall. When someone tells them that they love them, they say, "I don't believe you." And they don't believe anybody that loves them. Why? Because nobody's going to hurt me. I've got my wall built. And they're in their own silent prison. They can't receive love from the Lord, and they can't receive the love of other people. Bitter people carry their bitterness far beyond the ones that hurt them. Instead of forgiving, they hate everybody. A husband is hurt by a wife, and I've already told you, they don't trust anybody again. In responding wrong to the tragedy, they shut out many good people that God wants in their life to help them heal. That's why our text, can you go to Hebrews chapter 12 there? Our text teaches us that bitter people eventually also, they get angry at God, and then what is one of the things they do? They become immoral. I did not say all immoral people are bitter. I said bitter people become immoral. Look at Hebrews 12. Look at verse number 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." That is not a period. That is a semicolon at the end of that verse. That means it keeps on going. Look at verse number 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person." What's fornicators? That's someone who has sex outside of marriage. That's an immoral person. How does bitterness defile? It leads to immorality. If you'll study the life of Esau, he said, "My mom and dad don't want me to marry this one. That going to break your heart, mom and dad, this one?" And read the Bible. It says Esau married them because he was angry at his mom and dad. You know how many people I've heard talk that way? "I'll get back at my mom and dad. I'll do this because I know it'll get their goat." And I've watched people live in bitterness. Because our sin-cursed world We long for the day as Christians when Jesus will return and rule and reign for 1,000 years out of Jerusalem and the curse is lifted. But until then, we will always be misunderstood. We will always be mistreated and hurt at times and suffer tragedies. Listen closely. No one lives in this life and doesn't get hurt. And watch this. Let me just rephrase it. You're going to get hurt, and watch, you are going to hurt somebody else. I'd never do that. It goes both ways because we're sinners. You're going to get hurt and you're going to hurt. That's just part of life. The best way to live is by God's grace and truth, not humanistically dealing with our problems. Well, I know how to deal with it. Jeremiah says, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." We don't know how to fix ourselves. Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way which seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death." God says we don't know how to fix our problems. In Romans chapter 3, God tells us, can you take your Bible? You're in Hebrews. Go back a couple to Romans, and let me just show you this here real quick, and then we'll get on to the fixing of it. I know that this... Sometimes I preach on a theme if it's a holiday, and I don't have a problem with that. Is this a Mother's Day sermon? No. This is a sermon, but I will say this. As I pray and prepare, I really feel like I'm supposed to be preaching this morning. And if this was the last sermon I was to preach, I preached this morning what God told me to preach from the Bible. But is this a Mother's Day sermon? No, but it is what I'm supposed to preach. Romans chapter 3. God tells us here how He sees us before we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. As it is written, this is God, how God sees us before we get saved. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues have they used deceit. Their poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing, and, there's that word, bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. The world lives in anger and hatred and revenge. And isn't church supposed to be different? Amen. I'm so thankful. I love our church, and when I come to church, I don't feel threatened. I feel like I'm amongst God's people, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But they live differently out there, hateful and hating one another. I'm going to get back at them one day. I deserve that. I should have got that. I mean, the way they live, they're in misery. They know no peace. They're not a child of God. How do we correct bitterness then? God's way. God's Word has the answer to our problems. We don't. Number one, three things. You say, how do you get rid of bitterness? Number one this morning, you need to admit that your bitterness is a sin and confess it. Psalm 32 says, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Psalm 51 verse 2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." If we confess, once you get saved, you don't ask God to forgive your sin. You forgive other people when they wrong you, but once you trust Jesus as your Savior, what are you supposed to do when you sin? I'm already forgiven. I confess it. And you know how come we confess it? Because God says, I'm waiting for you to see if you agree with me about what's wrong with you. Yeah. I know what's wrong with you. And when my Holy Spirit of God touches your heart about your bitterness, do you agree with me that it's sin? Then confess it with your mouth. Dear God, I'm sorry. I was bitter. I should have forgiven them 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Dear God, I'm sorry. So you admit it. Dear God, I'm bitter. It's sinful. And I'm sorry. That's all through your Bible, confessing our sins. Praise God, I don't have to confess my sins to a priest. Amen? Did you know nowhere in the Bible did they ever confess their sins to a priest? Nowhere. Not one place. But where do we confess them to? To God. Why? Because God says, I already know what's wrong with you. Your problem is that you don't see what I see. And when we get on the same wavelength, same, then God says, now acknowledge it. Do you see? That's what salvation is, right? When you see that you can't keep earning it. Well, I can do it. I can do it. I can keep this commandment. I can do this. And God says, you're a dirty, nasty sinner. And when you see what I see and that I'm your only hope, and you do what? Confess me with your mouth. Jesus, you're my only way to heaven. That is salvation. Same thing after you get saved. Same thing after. I'm so glad it's so simple. What do you do if you are bitter? You admit it, that your sin hurts God, that your sin hurts yourself, and your sin hurts others. When the Holy Spirit shows you, then confess it. Revival happens in a church when God's people are willing to deal with their anger and their wrath and their malice towards each other. Revival happens when you confess your sin of bitterness to God. And if you need to, you apologize to those you've hurt. Now, if they don't know that you hurt them, then don't go up and apologize to them. I had somebody come up and say to me, you know, I've hated you for 10 years and God touched my heart about it and I finally quit. And I had no idea they hated me. So I was like, really? You've hated me for 10 years? Like, that bad? Oh my goodness. My suggestion as a pastor is this. If you've hurt somebody, you apologize. If they don't know, keep it to yourself. Tell it to the Lord, amen? You know what I mean? But if you owe somebody money or you stole, then you go, you pay it back. You give it back and you say, I'm sorry. But if they don't know, that is something. I don't think every sin has to be broadcast, just those that you've hurt. Number one, I said, what do you do then when you see? Because God says this beautiful passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, look diligently and be careful that one sin is not among, somebody's not suffering and bleeding to death when they come to church. Because that one sin of bitterness will destroy and defile many. Watch for that one thing. That's why I'm preaching on it this morning. Watch for that one thing. If you're here this morning and God touches your heart about it, then first, admit it and confess it. Number two, divorce yourself from it. You can take your Bible and let's go to one place, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I love the wording. Praise God for the King James Bible. It's the perfect, pure, inspired Word of God. But I love this wording, and God gives us so much here. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 31. Ready? God says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, I know I read it earlier, be put away from you. The word put away, God says in Malachi, I hate putting away. What is putting away? All through the Bible, it's divorce. God says, I'm the one that created the husband and the wife. Marriage was my idea. The different subject. But God says, I hate divorce. But then God uses the same words when He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and mouth be put away or divorced from you. What does it take to go through the wording? A divorce is a painful, heartbreaking process. I've never met somebody, I don't care if it was their fault or somebody else, I've never met somebody that had been through a divorce that they weren't still bleeding from. It hurts. It's one of the most painful things you can go through in life. And I'm not talking about whose fault it is, I'm talking about divorce is a painful subject. God says here, when you find bitterness and anger and wrath in your life, divorce yourself from it. What does it take to do a divorce? It takes paperwork. What does it take to divorce? Now I can apply a marriage divorce to sin divorce because it's a process. It's a decision, first of all, and then it's a process. You've been a part of my life, and we're one, and we're separating by paperwork. And then the pain begins. Did you know it's the same thing when you choose to do that with sin? That's what it takes. I've had bitterness in my life for a long time. And we've been one. And I've confided in it. And I've hid behind it. And I've justified it. And I've told everybody this is why I can be angry and I can bite people's heads off and I can have this attitude in life because of my bitterness. And the day God says, if you want to get rid of it, you put it away or divorce it. You say, from now on, we're no longer one. It's a decision. It starts with a decision. And watch this. The pain is about the same. That's why Jesus said, if your hand offends you, what? Cut it off. Now, God isn't for maiming your body. Your body's holy. This cutting stuff and all that, that's your body is holy to God. But God was saying the self-control it would take for somebody to... It's one thing to have your hand cut off. It's another thing to... Okay, I'm not going to try it. I just think about it. You understand? You think about the Bible weird. Okay. To sit there and cut your hand... If your eye offend you, what? You know what he was saying? It's painful for everybody to separate from sin. And that which I have hid behind and been one with and made excuses for and justified, we're separating. And it takes the same decision, and watch this, the same determination. Beautiful wording. And God says, yeah, you're right. If you're bitter this morning, you can come to an altar and pray, but this doesn't end it. It starts it. Do you understand? It starts the process. It starts the process. How do you get over bitterness? You admit it and confess it. Then you divorce yourself from it. God says, put it away. I put a definition of forgiveness. Let me give you this and then I'm almost done. Forgiveness is a choice of the will to reconcile with an offender by erasing the debt they owe you and living with the consequences. What do you do when someone takes your money and they cost you maybe not just 100, several thousand? But if I forgive them, that means I'm going to erase the debt and then live with the consequences of the money that they stole from me. Isn't that what Jesus did for you? Amen. What I stole and what I broke and what I violated, He decided to live with and He took it on Himself. And that is salvation. And God says, you'll never forgive someone like I forgave you. But when you try, it is similar and it's an act of faith. That's why it's so hard. Well, I'd forgive, but it's just hard. Really? That's how come you made that decision? It's hard for everybody because you got to do it by faith. I was forgiven when He saved me. And that's why I forgive others. That's why I forgive others. Let me just give you one more thing here. Can we end this morning with take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I said, admit it and confess it. I said, then divorce yourself from it and put it away. And the final step to getting rid of bitterness is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It's right after 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, then Galatians. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Skip on down to verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, capital S, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So how do we get rid of bitterness? We admit it and confess it. We divorce ourselves from it, which is a decision. And then we decide, from now on, I'm going to quit walking in the flesh and hating everybody that... I mean, I don't understand road rage. I really don't. Well, I just got a short fuse. Well, control yourself. He cut me off.
I'll show him. I'll cut him off.
I mean, I've been in one road rage incident with a person got out of his car, and he was, go ahead, run me over. And this is in Texas. You know, go ahead, run me over. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to kill you. Run me over. So I punched it. Bumped him into his car. I said, all right. I was going to run him over and go right to the sheriff's department. I got my wife right next to me. I was like, come on. All I did was honk the horn. He like that. I was like, what a baby. And I don't understand the lack of self-control in our society.
Well, they...
Now, are they the only person that's ever done you wrong? Good night. Precious little snowflakes. Did you hear about the kid last week that Mike Pence, his arm bumped into his nose and the kid chased him down. Chased the vice president down and said, you bumped into my nose, you owe me an apology. Said that to the vice president, not, good to meet you, Mr. Vice President, nothing like that. You owe me an apology. You bumped into my nose. Kid wasn't bleeding or anything. You know what the lead of the article was? Are we raising a bunch of snowflakes? That's horrible. Your kid gets to meet... Okay, let's get back to the sermon. Okay, back to the sermon. Walking in the Spirit says, from now on, I'm going to quit living, strong wording, and then I'm done, like an animal. I'm not going to let my emotions run my life. I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And my emotions are not going to determine how I live. I'm going to do what God tells me to do through the Holy Spirit.